Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
I really want to bring a word of encouragement, hopefully encouragement, to us this morning. You know, Message SA, we're in our fifth year. You know, we're still babies. You guys had your 25-year celebrations. We celebrated with you on the other side of the world in that, and excited by what God's doing as a global movement. But I guess I'm conscious more than ever that kind of these in South Africa, these short-term successes that we have, are kind of, we're just scratching the surface of what God, I feel, wants us to do. We showed a video at our prayer day, I think, in January, of Billy Graham's. Have you seen that here? Billy Graham's advice in his 100th year. So Billy Graham turns 100 this year, and there's a lovely clip. I almost showed it. You can watch it another time, of like 5-minute clip of keys from Billy Graham that's kept him going all these years. And that's the kind of perspective I feel we need to have as Message. It's that kind of longevity. What's it going to take for us to be faithful for the long haul, for the long term? And actually, even to make that more personal, because we are, you know, we'd say, yeah, we are the Message. It's not really success if a whole different crop of people are celebrating the Message in 50 years, is it? You know, and the rest of us are all battered and bruised and on the sidelines, and there's a whole, you know, we're relying on a new crop of people. The question is, what are we, you know, we're carrying what God has called us to do. Okay, that doesn't mean we're all necessarily going to be badge-wearing Message people in 25 years' time, but are we continuing to do what God has called us to do, to be faithful for the long haul? It's the challenge that is out there, isn't it? What are we doing to ensure that we are going to make it? That not only are we going to make it, we're going to grow in this thing, that our best years are ahead of us, not behind us. Or we're not in our best years, you know, that there are things ahead that are going to blow our mind. But how do we get there? And how do we maintain that? I think key verse, you know, actually, I personalize it even more. I'm now 20 years in South Africa. It's my 20th year on the mission field in Cape Town. You know, and it's just beginning to dawn on me, actually. You know, it's 20 years. That's quite a long time, isn't it? Some of you are like, flipping heck, 20 years. And so what does it take for me? In some ways, I feel it's only just beginning. You know, only just starting, only beginning to get glimpses of, I think, the things that God is calling us and calling me and my family into as well. So what does it take, and how do we, I mean, you know, a short talk this morning, I can't answer all of those things, but there's one thing I felt specifically that is kind of where I'm at personally as well, and that one of the ways we can ensure that we can maintain longevity, that we can have increasing influence, kingdom influence, means we actually need to take care of our soul. We need to nurture our soul. We need to take care of who we are and position ourselves in such a way that we replenish and refresh our souls on a constant basis. So that's really what I want to talk about this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23-24 says this, a critical verse for all of us who want to go on in the Christian walk. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, as we've been singing, and he will do it. He will do it. But there's a task that we play in positioning ourselves so that that sanctifying, that making holy, that setting us apart, that work of God can continue in us through and through, on and on, day after day, year after year, that process of his work in our lives continues. And I love the fact he's saying, you know, God is talking to us about it holistically here, body, soul, and spirit. He's not just worried about our spirit. He's worried about everything that we are. And I don't have time. It'd be a three-part message to do how we maintain our spiritual vitality, how we keep our body healthy and strong, like going on mad cycle trips and whatever it takes to remain in good shape so we can serve God faithfully with our bodies. But today I thought maybe it's not spoken out as much is the soul, something I've been really thinking about in my own walk, in my own. How do we care for our souls? How do we take care of our souls? How is our souls sanctified through and through? You know, the soul, it's the seat of affections. It's where our emotions sit in our lives, our feelings, our emotions, our conscience, our affections, and our desires. It's the thing that helps us relate emotionally with the world. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the soul. Great author called Dallas Willard writes this: our soul is like an inner stream of water which gives strength, direction, and harmony to every other element of our life. When that stream is as it should be, we are constantly refreshed and exuberant in all we do. Do you want to be constantly refreshed and exuberant in all you do? You know, so often we're just tired and beat up and bruised and fed up, aren't we? But actually, that's not what God has for us. He wants us to be constantly refreshed and exuberant in all we do. It says, because our soul itself is then profusely rooted in the vastness of God and his kingdom, including nature, and all else within us is enlivened and directed by that stream. There's a stream that is available to us that means we can live differently to the world. We can have a different approach, a different outlook, and our soul does not have to kind of conform to what is going on around us and the kind of global depressions that we see, but actually we can have a refreshed perspective. But there are so many things that seek to destroy our soul and block that stream, aren't there? There's the discouragements, there's hopelessness, there's other voices and influences, and all of those things. When life gets so busy, there's so many challenges, so many crises, that also when we see the pain and experience the hurt of others, all of those can be soul blockers that can begin to absorb that vitality that we and exuberance that maybe we once felt. And so the challenge is, how do we rediscover it? How do we ensure that this process of sanctification of the soul continues in the midst of a world that wants to sap every last element of soul strength that we might have? So it's a countercultural thing. It's something that's telling about how do we go against that. So there's no rocket science about what I'm going to share. There's four things that I've been reflecting on and thinking of. And because they tease me for doing this in South Africa, they all begin with T. And the reason that is you know, you hear hundreds of messages, don't you? So unless I give you one little hook, maybe you'll forget. I forget my own messages within a day or two. So how the heck are you going to? So they all begin with T, truth, thankfulness, testimony, and time out. Four ways that we can replenish our soul. And we're going to learn from David, who was the one who was the great kind of person who spoke to his soul constantly through all the trials and tribulations that he went through in his life. So the first thing is truth. We need to speak truth to our souls. David writes this in Psalm 143, verses 8 to 10. New King James Version says this: cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. David is taking time out to say every day in the morning, through everything I'm doing, I need to absorb your truth. I need to absorb your directing in my life. I need to sit under your teaching. I need to have it permeate every part of my being. That's the only way that my soul can be refreshed, is if my soul becomes aligned with the truth of your word, not the influences of the circumstances or the external voices that are around me. To have a sanctified soul, we must be 100% committed to the truth contained in God's word. And I don't know about you, but I'm proud to be part of an organization that has nailed its colors to the mast in terms of the gospel, in terms of truth. In a world where truth is under attack in every way, where actually the most humiliating thing sometimes that we can say is I actually believe there's truth. I believe there is a way, the truth, and the life. And people mock us and scorn us. But I'm proud to be part of something that has nailed its color to its mast and says, we believe that to be true. Every word that is written in here, you know, sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we grapple with it. Sometimes we fight God over some of the stuff that is contained in this book. But ultimately, we believe that it is revealed truth. And we are not going to deter from that. It is the only way that we can maintain our souls saturated in God is if we turn to the truth of his word. It's his gift that he has given us. And when we're tempted, either way, left or right, we've got to come back to this. And we've got to remind ourselves we need to be immersed in the truth. It is life, it is strength, it is health to our souls. And the second thing is that we need to interpret what is going on in the world through the lens of this truth. There are so many voices now, aren't there? We're flipping inundated with voices that are telling us stuff about how we should be feeling, thinking, interpreting, or not feeling, not thinking, not interpreting what is going on. In fact, they want us just to become sponges of rubbish and accepting every single thing, as Paul said, we would be able to, would be the signs of the last days. Every single thing we're accepted to question, but actually, But actually, we're to take everything we receive and realign it through the lens of Scripture. We view it in that way. It gives us, I mean, I pity the people who don't have something to interpret what's going on in the world through. I mean, what a sad place to be. That everything that comes at us, there's no lens through which to perceive it. And actually, God has given us this, through which we can perceive what is going on and also speak truth into what is going on. In Cape Town at this time in the drought, this is what we're feeling called to. It's saying we could just take the perspective of the world, which actually is like, this is hopeless. You know, it's going to end up in riots. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. You know, and actually it causes more division than bringing people together. The politicians blaming one another. We're actually saying, no, what is God saying to us through this? There's a voice that is going to speak to us in this situation. And actually, perhaps God is going to bring something out of this that we can't even imagine. A return to him in this. And you know, we all imagine, we pray and it rains the next day and God gets loads of glory. Well, who knows if that's his plan, but I do know he has a plan. He has not forgotten his city, he has not forgotten his people. As he said about Nineveh, so he says about Cape Town. He is looking for the hearts that will be stirred through this. So we interpret what's going. It gives us a lens to do that. But then, you know, also nurturing and nourishing our soul means that we need to be truthful people. We ourselves need to be people of honesty and integrity. You know, when we start to compromise in the truth, we start to damage our soul. We start, when we begin to let pride come in, and you know what, begin to think it's actually about me, it's about how good I spoke, I sang, I did. We're seeing these kind of responses because somehow I was involved. I start exaggerating on the, we'd never do that as the message. I start exaggerating on the thousands of people that we're impacting. You know, all of these things can begin to put a shadow over our soul where God wants full, complete access. We begin to put ourselves in the way we handle truth, the way we're truthful with one another is absolutely critical. Those little gossip, white lies, things that can begin to destroy community ultimately leads us to isolation, desperation, despair. We need one another. And if the devil can get in and try and mess up with all of that, he knows he can destroy our soul, bring us into such places of discouragement that we lose our effectiveness in the kingdom of God. Truthfulness is not just about understanding the truth of the word. It's about being people who are truthful ourselves. And you know what? There's something incredibly attractive about truthful people. There's something about it. You know what? Mark and I often talk about guys who we've been involved with in prison ministry over many, many years. And it's like, why do they always come back after doing the most ridiculous things, after lying and stealing from us, after kind of leading us down the garden path, you know, and then we despair. And it's like sometimes we look, Mark and I look at each other and say, there's nothing more we can do for that person, but I bet in a year or two they'll be back. And I think one of the things is, it's the truth, the freedom that comes with truth. Actually having people who are willing to speak truthfully into one another's lives is an attractive quality. The world will tell us it's the opposite. But actually, what people want is the truth spoken in love. And what did Jesus say about the truth? Truth is what sets us free. There is freedom in truth. So the first thing, if we want to nourish our soul, is to be truthful. The second thing is to be thankful. David said in Psalm 42, verse 5. Try and find it. If anyone's there before me, you can shout it out. I've got it, though. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Why so downcast your soul? What's the remedy for a downcast soul? It's actually putting our hope in God and being thankful, praising our Saviour and our God. You know, I mean, you guys know this, you've heard it before. Praise and worship shouldn't be fueled by our emotions. It doesn't mean that happiness doesn't, you know, if we are happy, oh, it's suddenly wrong to praise God. But actually, if we only praise God in those times, then there is something wrong. There is the shallowness to us. Our soul will be, up and down, not consistent. But our praise is and worship is fueled by remembering who God is. Worship is not dependent on our feelings or our circumstances. Rather, through worshiping God in spirit and truth, our soul can be renewed and God restores joy to us in spite of how we may be feeling. I think it's coming to that point of truth statement of saying we can be thankful. God is still worthy of our worship, even if we don't feel particularly happy about something at a particular moment in time. Some of you know my circumstances, 18 months ago when Laura passed away. This was an incredible challenge for me, to continue to be thankful to God in the most devastating of life circumstances. And one of the lessons that really God began to speak to me about is the difference between gratitude and happiness, even gratitude and joy, is I still had things to be grateful for, even though I didn't feel happy. And I had to go through, it was a discipline. In fact, these things I'm talking about ultimately are disciplines. The discipline of saying, well, Lord, I'm not happy that Laura has died, but I'm grateful for the wife that I had for 16 years. I'm not happy that my children have been left alone without their mother, but I'm grateful that they know you, Jesus, and they're good kids, and I wouldn't want it any other way than to be with them at this moment in time. I'm not happy that I'm facing an uncertain future, but I am grateful, Lord, that I know you and that you are with me. And that's the kind of perspective, because that is, I think, the most worshipful place we can be in, when in spite of anything else, we can still say God is with us. And he is taking us through the things. He is with us. So gratitude is a great place to start if you're feeling sad. If you're feeling despair, if your soul is downcast, gratitude is an incredible place to start. And you know what? The more gratitude we begin to express, God does begin to restore joy. He does respond. Maybe happiness takes a while, but there's a deep satisfaction inside of us. Similar to when we know in terms of the truth of the gospel and the gratitude that we begin to show is the great message of the Bible is this, that we are not alone, that he is with us in everything. He is alongside us. He has gone ahead of us. He's hemming us in every way. And so we can know we can face these things because of the loving God who is with us. So being thankful is a critical part of restoring, of seeing our soul restored and maintaining our faithfulness for the long haul. The third thing for T was testimony. Our stories. Again, David, Psalm 103. I'll read verses 1 to 5. I love this. He says, praise the Lord. Again, he's talking to his soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, so often we can be so... we want to be so super spiritual and we're rightly emphasize carrying our cross and the difficulties of being a Christian. And sometimes we talk about the narrow path, but actually David says here, there are benefits to being a Christian, and I'm glad there are benefits. It's a good thing to be a Christian in this world and for all eternity. When Jesus saved me, he saved me now from a whole lot of stuff. And it was a pathway I started now that leads me into heaven. I'm not waiting one day for the good stuff. I can experience the good stuff here and now. There are a ton of benefits to being a Christian. And David lists some of them there. But the ultimate thing that we have is that each one of us has a story of grace that we should be celebrating every day of our lives. We are a living miracle. Every one of us is a living miracle. I'm trying to emphasize this with our team back in Cape Town more. We've got this, got the phrase gangstar, and MT on that video brilliantly says, gang was my past, star is our future. And sometimes we can elevate a story like MT, 14 years in prison, everything that went wrong in his life that led him that way. And all this, I mean, it is an incredible transformational story of grace that is worth celebrating. But actually, every one of us, gang is our past. Every single one of us were held back from the knowledge of God by sin and destruction. Every single one of us were only worthy of one thing, and that was eternal separation from God. Every single one of us were part of addictive behavior, whether it was like me, pride or rebellion, or just wanting to kind of be my own person, you know, having been brought up in the truth, just wanting to stretch those boundaries. There was a gang that was holding me back from truth. Every single one of us has a story. And actually, it refreshes our soul to remind ourselves, gang was my past, but I was set free from that gang by Jesus Christ. And star is my future. Philippians 2, verse 15, he's taking us on and leading us to be stars in the universe, to shine in a crooked and depraved generation. And every single one of us has that calling upon our lives. There's not a different tiers of Christians in the kingdom. We are all equal. We are all equally in need of the Savior. We are all equally dependent upon His grace and His faithfulness every day. But we are all equally one day going to be in glory before Him. We have all those promises. All of the promises are part of our testimony. And when we remember this, it brings confidence. And we're talking, praying about that confidence to us to keep on going. That God has done these things in our past, will continue to do them in our future. And our testimony, we remind ourselves, our testimony isn't just for the external, it's a gift of grace to each one of you. Something that really helps me with that is journaling, writing down the promises of God, the things. I don't write a diary every day, but there are certain seasons in my life where I've written extensively and certain where it's just the odd scripture. But I can look back over a history of 15 years of God speaking to me, at the story that He's got me on as He's led me from gang to star. It was a critical time in 2010. When I went through, really, my soul was drained. We'd been on mission. We'd done a national mission with Ambassadors and Sport, the ministry I was at before being part of the message. We'd also taken in a young man called Nicholas into our home, an ex-offender, and that had gone really pear-shaped. You know, every promise that we believed God had given us for this young man was just completely like, Lord, we're not seeing it. Ends up back in prison, the heartbreak of that. And we left at a point in November where we just needed to get away as a family and take some time. And on that journey, on that holiday, I took away like 10 years of journals with me. And I read through the whole lot. And I looked for those threads of grace, those scriptures that had come back time and time again. I called it a life audit or a spiritual audit. You know, and I recognized, no, there is a story here, God. There is a story and you're not done yet. And it gave me that strength to say, I would commit again. I'm ready to go again. I needed this time. I needed to click a refresh system refresh and kind of get rid of a lot of that rubbish cache and all that other stuff that clogs up your system. I needed to get rid of those things in order to push on again in hope and to see the story continue. The fourth thing, and I guess this relates to this, is take time out. I'm just going to close by this verse, which has been a big one for us, and it's our key verse actually for our wedding. Psalm 62 verse 5, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. So we need to be committed to the truth. We need to be thankful. We need to be motivated by a testimony that refreshes our soul. But we also need to have a healthy rhythm in our life of ministry. We need to find rest in God. Does this mean, like, for an activist like me, I have to become a monk and take the odd year out and go and sit on a Scottish island? No. But within my rhythm of life, I need to find things that give me energy, that help refresh my soul. You know, something that's good for me. I go running a lot. I love running outdoors. You know, and the more I run outdoors, the more I hate the treadmill. You know, it's like find the thing that, you know, so many things, you know, and that's metaphorically as well. The more we do the stuff that kind of seems to get us going nowhere, you know, just going, running on energy on the same spot in a sweaty gym, you know, that's rubbish. I can get onto Table Mountain and run and praise in the glory of God. The more I do that, and that energizes me for the other stuff in life as well. Find the things, and I can meet God there. Find the way that God speaks to you, that in a way that gives you the time out that you need in order to keep going, to refresh yourselves, to sustain yourselves. You know what? We're not immune to the rubbish and stuff of life. We don't have all the answers, the stuff that we're going to grapple with. But the beautiful thing is Jesus and God, he promises us we can find rest. We can find peace, even when we don't have all the answers to the whys and the whats and what, you know, the ifs of this life. We can still find that place of rest. So that's the testimony that we can have as Christians. There's a place of peace for our souls. Because Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heaven laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, come to me, some of you, and I might. He said, come to me, all, and I will. And that's a beautiful thing about the Bible, isn't it? So inclusive for every one of us. So we need to encourage you, find that place, find those rhythms that sustain you for the long haul. Sometimes you got to sprint hard and we're going to go, and as message, we got to go and we got to move, and there's things we're being called to do. But even in that, how are you going to find Christ? But there's other times where actually you got to say, Lord, I just need you. I need that space. What is it that is going to help you in those times? For me as well, I've learned to surf this last year, and that's been a great thing. I'm rubbish at surfing, but I can catch the odd wave and I can stand up, and it feels like fun, you know. And we've got to be a people of fun. We've got to have that laughter. We've got to have the bands. We've got to keep that in what we're doing to encourage one another's souls in that as well. I think I need to wrap up. We've got work to do. But we want to be the kind of people that have lasting impact, don't we? And we want to nurture our soul. God, and this is a conscious decision that we make. God will do it. He's faithful. But we've got to position ourselves to be sustained so that for the long haul we continue to be renewed, so we can be the blessings and we can be countercultural. We can be the people that are attractive for the kingdom, that people say, look at us and say, there's something different about those people. What is it in this world that is going to part in pieces? What is it that they've got? Bring people to that place of dilemma so that ultimately they can become part of this kingdom, part of what God is doing. Yeah. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.